Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. This is the reading of God's Word. Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile an account of the things accomplished among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and servants of the Word, it seemed fitting for me as well, having investigated everything carefully from the beginning, to write it out for you in consecutive order, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the exact truth about the things you have been taught. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word, that our faith will grow and that we will be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Through your word, let us see what our Lord Jesus Christ has done and accomplished for us. And through your word, let us have that sweet fellowship with him. And Father, bless us that your word will be preached correctly and all of us will hear your word and believe it and obey it. Let us live that obedient life in Jesus Christ. We pray that you and you alone will receive all the glory. We thank you and pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll end this section today. Bible teaches us that all scriptures are inspired by God. God has chosen men to write his word. And God used their natural abilities to write, but when they were writing, 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 21 tells us that they were moved by the Holy Spirit, spoke from God. Literally, they were carried by the Holy Spirit, meaning that God was in complete control during their writing the Holy Scriptures. Thus, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, all Scripture is inspired by God. Literally, all Scriptures are God-breathed, meaning the words that they were writing are as if God breathed them out. They came out from the mouth of God. Thus, they are the word of God. Thus, the Bible is inerrant, without any error, infallible. Everything it says will come true. And when we say that the Bible is inerrant, we mean the original manuscripts that the writers wrote. The Bible never tells us that the translations are inerrant. But unless it is deliberately translated to deceive, the most translations are correctly translated to teach the way of God's salvation. And we accept 66 books of the Bible as God's Word, 39 Old Testament and 27 New Testaments. Some say that the Bible is more than 66 books, but only 66 books are the Word of God. 39 books of the Old Testament. Well, Jesus himself has accepted 39 books of the Old Testament that the Jewish people had at that time. The Jews always had 39 books and only 39 books. They just have them in different order than us. And 27 books of the New Testament, as we have seen that only the apostles or the people who are directly under the authority of the apostles are able to write God's word. Thus, all the New Testament have been written in the first century because all the apostles died in the first century. All the Apocrypha, apart from 27 books, even the scholars who say that those Apocrypha are the part of the Bible say that These books were written in the late 2nd century or in the 3rd century. Thus, we don't have to accept them as God's word. In our passage, Luke says that what he has written were handed down to him by those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. He has written it after careful investigation. If we read the Bible, then it is clear that as the redemptive history of God progresses, the revelation of God is given from oral to written. In the Old Testament, even Abraham was a prophet of God, but he did not write any scriptures. Elijah and Elisha were prophets, but they did not write any scriptures. This does not mean that they did not bring God's word to God's people. But those words of God were heard by God's people then, but they're gone. Unless some of them came down in an oral tradition. So when within Old Testament, even within Old Testament, we could see that the history of God's revelation flows from oral to written. And when it comes to New Testament time, after all 66 books are completed, the revelation of God is now ceased. And here's a question. Which is more certain and permanent? The revelation of God that are seen and heard by the eyewitnesses, or the written word of God, like the book of Luke? Which is more certain and more permanent? And we need to be very certain about this. Within our passage, we see the progression of the revelation of God. It flows from hearing and seeing. It came down from eyewitnesses. And who were there, who experienced those events. But Luke has written it now. So it flows from hearing and seeing to more certain and more permanent way. From hearing and seeing to written word of God. So many people misunderstand that what they have seen and heard, those things are more certain revelation of God. As I have said already, after the completion of the 66 books of the Bible, God's revelation has been completed and now it has been seized. All the experiences that some Christians claim to have after the completion of the Bible are not God's revelations. It's just experience, like non-Christian experience. God does not speak through dreams and experiences anymore. When certain people, they have dreamed, they're trying their best to see what God was telling them through that dream. But God does not speak to His people apart from the Word, written Word of God anymore. Even during the time when God's revelation came to God's people through their dreams and visions and experiences, that revelation of God was not more certain and permanent than the written word of God. And this, I would like to prove it in my sermon today. We need to understand what the Bible is teaching. Before we look at God's word that deals with this, let me mention that the New Testament was beginning to be written at about 50 AD. And Jesus Christ has resurrected from the dead and ascended into heaven around 33 AD. Some people say that there are about 3 to 4 years gap between the actual times, but there's no way for us to know for sure. Nevertheless, this means that for about 20 years, all that Jesus has done and taught, the content of God's revelation came down orally. Do you understand? Jesus did all these things and taught all these things and he ascended into heaven at around 33 AD. And the New Testament was being written at around 50 AD. So from 33 AD to 50 AD, how did the revelation of God came down to the next generation? So there's about 20 years. All that Jesus has done and taught, the content of the revelation of God came down only orally. And after 20 years, it was being written. Now, question is this. When was God's revelation given to His people in a more certain and permanent way? Within those 20 years that came to them orally, or after 50 AD when those revelation was written for them? Or even before it comes down orally, these people were actually saw it, actually heard it. When, question, when was God's revelation given to His people in a more certain and more permanent way? That's the question we have to answer today. During those 20 years and during the life of Jesus Christ here on earth, during those times when God's revelation came to God's people in experiences and in seeing and orally, but did God's revelation come to God's people more clearly, more certainly in those days? Or it comes down to us more clearly and certainly through the written word of God? Well, let's go to 2 Peter. Well, because of virus, you don't bring your Bible. Let me just carefully listen to this. 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to read from verse 16 through 21. For we did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For when He received honor and glory from God the Father, such an utterance as this was made to Him by the majestic glory. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. And we ourselves heard this utterance made from heaven when we were with Him on the holy mountains. So we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning stars arises in your hearts. But know this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. And I know, I just read it once, and, you know, it's hard for you to remember all that I read. But let me repeat things here for you. Peter says, we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is referring to the event at the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter says that he did not follow cleverly devised tales. No, it actually happened, and Peter tells us that the event just as it happened. Now, Peter says, we were eyewitnesses of His Majesty. He saw it, and he experienced it. And verse 17 and 18 says, for when we received honor and glory from God the Father, such an utterance as this was made to Him by the majestic glory, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. And we ourselves heard this utterance made from heaven when we were with Him on the holy mountain. Peter and these people, they actually saw the glory. They actually heard the utterance made from heaven by God. They actually heard the voice of God. But then, verse 19 says, after he says all that, he says, we have the prophetic word made more sure. And he talks about how Bible is written. The prophetic word, verse 20, the prophecy of scriptures, namely the written word of God. He is saying that I heard it, I saw it, but we have something that is more sure, which is the written word of God. And he tells how that written word of God is now written. Do you understand the flow of these verses? It really doesn't matter how you feel. We go by what the Bible says. When you see yourself and when you hear with your own ears, you might think that's more certain. But the Bible says, no. That's just how you feel. Look. And the written word of God is not matter of one's own interpretation. Why? Verse 21. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. They spoke through the written word of God. Peter says that the written word of God is more sure than all that he has heard and saw. Do you see it then? First of all, the experiences that some claim to be God's revelation today are not God's revelation at all. And even when God gave His revelation in those ways, even then, the written word of God is more certain, more sure, more permanent than the audible and visible revelation of God. This is what Bible is teaching. Again, God says it, we believe. And somebody might say, no, but when I experience it, it's more certain to me. Well, that's your understanding. But that's not what Bible is teaching. And I listen to the Bible. I don't listen to people. I don't care what they have experienced it. If it is not according to what the Word says, then it's false. Because the Word of God, the Bible, is the truth. Man, otherwise it's just chaos. You say one thing, she says another thing, he says another thing. What is the truth then? What is the truth? Well, God has written down for us so that we don't have to be confused. So, now when people say, I saw something or I heard something, those are not the revelation of God. And even when revelation of God came down in those ways, it's inferior to written word of God. Do you see what I'm saying? This is what Bible says, and this is what we believe. This is what Peter is saying in this passage. Throughout the redemptive history of God, history of God's revelation is from oral and experiences to written, to more sure way, more certain and permanent way. We see this flow in God's redemptive history. Our passage shows this flow when it comes to New Testament. It says that it came down from eyewitnesses and people who heard it. It came down, but he investigated all that and he has written it now. And God is behind all of that process and gave us the most certain revelation of God. Now, you're going to hear contrary to what I'm saying today out there in the churches. Oh, they will tell you all kinds of experiences they have experienced. And telling you to listen to those things as if we're listening to the Bible. No. Oral period of apostolic era to more complete permanent period, written period of the church era. Jesus taught us this also. In John chapter 14 verse 26, Jesus says that when the Holy Spirit comes, John chapter 14, 26, Jesus tells his disciples, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance of all that I have said to you. So that these apostles, they will be able to write what Jesus has said to them. John chapter 20 verse 30, therefore many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. Now, before John's death, he could have written about all the other signs that Jesus has done, but those signs are not important as the signs that were written in the Bible. Even though John experienced it and heard it, but he did not write. Holy Spirit did not move John to write in the Bible, which means all those experiences that John had, it's not important to us. It's not revelation from God. It's like hearing people's experiences out there. Okay? That's the world. That's why biography out there, they read people's lives and they think that there's so much to learn. Somehow those things will change them. Thank God I did not become famous. Can you just picture that? I'm so famous and the people will write about me when I'm gone and other people will read about my life and they think that somehow it's going to help them? No. Only the truth, God's word, helps you. That's why I don't tell you about what happened to me. Yeah, during Bible study, I don't tell you about what happened to me when I started this ministry or 20 years ago or 30 years ago. You will never hear that kind of stuff. Unless my mind is going, oh, that's the time when I have to stop this then. My experience will not help you. The truth will help you. God's word will help you. Yeah, sometimes I come across as a very cold person because I don't get into those personal, because I really believe it doesn't help anybody. My friendship doesn't help you. But Bible helps you. The truth. That's all you need. Yeah, I try my best so that people will not depend on me. I'd rather you think I'm so cold that you cannot get close to me, because my thing is about preaching the word. Word helps you. God's word. So there are many other things Jesus has done, but it's not important for us to know. That is why it's not written in the Bible. But these days, everything, everybody experiences somehow is so important that everybody has to know. Man, these days, I need to know what you ate for lunch. Oh, please. God's word. In other words, only the written word of God, the completed word of God, the 66 books of the Bible are revelation of God, the word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 through 17, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. So that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. The Bible is profitable for teaching, for reproof, the correction, the training in righteousness. So that all of us will be equipped with every good work that will be adequate. The Bible is sufficient for all those. We only need the Bible. Every other thing is just common grace. Even non-Christians, they feel their friends' experience benefit them. They want to hear some stories of famous people because they think it's helping them. That's just like, that's non-Christian. Bible helps you. Not only help you, but Bible is the truth. The issue today is this. Is it by experience or is it by Word of God? So many people live their so-called Christian lives centered on their experiences. Oh, even sermons are filled with people's experiences, examples. And you need to hear that person's experience as if because that happened, somehow Bible is now truth. Bible doesn't need anyone's experiences. It is the truth. Just because I tell you 20 years ago, this happened to me. And because that happened to me, now it's truth? What if that did not happen to me? Then it's not truth? We need to wake up, people. Bible is the truth, whether you experience it or not, whether you get it or not, whether you feel it or not, because nowadays it's all about feeling. See, brothers and sisters, we don't live by experiences. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Faith comes from hearing the word of God. So many people claim that their faith grew through their experiences, but the Bible does not teach that. John chapter 17, verse 17. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Our sanctification is by the truth, by the word of God. Again, so many people say that they have matured spiritually through their experiences, but the Bible doesn't teach that. John chapter 8, verse 32, and you will know the truth will set you free. The truth will make us free from sin and from the sinful world. The Bible never teaches us that our faith grows or we are mature through our experiences. You show me one verse, then I will believe it. That is the way of this sinful world. In the world, people mature by experiences. Of course, in the world, you learn by your experiences. But not the truth. This is why the world and the Bible is complete opposite. But people try to understand Bible with the worldly understanding. Look at the Old Testament Israelites. They had so many experiences. Man, they see miracles. Did they mature through those experiences? Did their faith grow through those experiences? Bible is very clear, no. They continued to sin more and more, even after those experiences. So we cannot accept the testimonials of so many churchgoers that say that they have grown spiritually and their faith has grown through their experiences. We don't buy it. Some will say to you that they had cancer and God has healed them. And they will say that through that experience, healing of their cancer, they now clearly know how much God loves them. You and I, we go to the Bible and see our Lord Jesus Christ dies on the cross for us. What can I experience in my life to know that God loves me more than the cross that the Word of God testifies? They don't say about the Bible. They tell us about their experiences. You know, I might not have any experiences, but I know God loves me. Because the Bible tells me. And whatever experience I might be experiencing, it will not tell me that God loves me more than the Bible does. We don't depend on those experiences. We don't depend on people's stories. The Bible, that's the only thing we need. That's why we don't have you guys come up here and give us testimonials. Because we have God's testimonial here in the Bible. It tells us what happened to me. It tells us that I have been resurrected from the dead. It tells us that I am ascended into heaven and seated with my God in heavenly places. It tells me. I don't need those experiences. It actually confuses me if I have those. Unless we know what the Bible clearly says. Brothers and sisters, you have the Word of God. You don't need people's stories. Really don't. And you understand that they don't need your stories. If you have time to say anything, then say what the Bible says. John chapter 20 verse 25, so the other disciples were saying to him, to Thomas, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see in his hands the imprints of the nails and put my finger into the place of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Thomas says, I will not believe unless I see it. I will not believe unless I touch it. I will not believe unless I experience it myself. And these people, even when they see the false things, they believe that their faith is strong. But our Lord says to them in John 20, 29, because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are they who did not see and yet believe. There are so many people who say, I saw certain things, I experienced certain things, and you go, oh God, how come they have those experiences but I don't? Well, you don't love me. And they seek out those experiences, but God says, blessed are they who did not see and yet believe. I don't need to see anything to believe. Because the Holy Spirit testifies in me that the Word of God, the Bible, is the truth. Don't be deceived, brothers and sisters. And don't listen to any of these stories out there. It doesn't help you. God's complete revelation has been given to us in the Bible. 66 books of the Bible. John tells us his purpose in writing the book of John. John chapter 20 verse 31. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ and Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Luke also tells us his purpose in writing the book of Luke, Luke chapter 1 verse 4, so that you may know the exact truth about the things you have been taught. With God's word, we triumph over this world and sin. In chapter 4, when Jesus was tempted by Satan, Jesus triumphs those temptations by the word of God. Let me quote from Matthew chapter 4 rather than Luke chapter 4, which also has the story of temptation of Jesus Christ. Matthew 4:4. But Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceed out of the mouth of God. Matthew chapter 4 verse 7, Jesus said to him, on the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Matthew chapter 4 verse 10, then Jesus said to him, go Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Every time Jesus is tempted by Satan, Jesus quotes the Bible. It is written. We must do the same. It is by the word of God we'll triumph over Satan's temptation. By and through God's word, our faith will grow. We will sanctify more and more, and we will be free from more and more from sin and from this sinful world. And we will be adequate, equipped for every good work. This is God's will for us. Let me read to you as I end this sermon. Few verses from the Psalms concerning God's word. Psalm 17 verse 4, by the word of your lips, I have kept from the path of the violent. Psalm 18 verse 30, as for God, his way is blameless. The word of the Lord is tried or proves true. Psalm 33 verse 4, for the word of the Lord is upright. Psalm 119 verse 9, how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. Psalm 119 verse 50, this is my comfort in my affliction, that your word has revived me. Psalm 119 verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and light to my path. Psalm 119, 162, I rejoice at your word as one who finds great spoil. God's word is Psalm 19 verse 10, more desirable than gold. Yes, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the dripping of the honeycomb. Brothers and sisters, I pray, sincerely I pray, that you will know what that verse actually says. When it says the word of God is sweeter than honeycomb, is it your life? In your life, you could testify that God's word is sweeter than honeycomb? Or God just saying a lie to us? Or you and I, we just don't know the truth? But these attributes, upright, the lamp, the light, sweet, these attributes of the Word of God is the attributes of our Lord Jesus Christ. So to love God's Word is to love our Lord Jesus Christ, because His Word is all about Him. And you cannot say to me or to anybody that you love Christ when you don't love His Word. That's just not true at all. And if you love His Word, then it will show it in your life. Because then you will always be with His Word. That God's Word and you are not separable because you love it so much. Oh, could say a lot of things. Let's love this Word. It is handed down to us by God's careful work through men. It is written for us so that we may know Jesus Christ and have that eternal life. As we go through the book of Luke, let us learn, let us know Jesus Christ so that we may love Him more and more. It is amazing grace that you even have Bible in your possession. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your word. It clearly shows us Jesus Christ. It is a lamp upon our feet, upon our path. So that we may see our way to Jesus Christ, so that we may see Jesus Himself. Oh Father, we thank you that once we were blind, but now we see. We see because of your word. We see Jesus Christ. Oh Father, let us love your word more and more, so that we may be able to love Jesus Christ more and more. We thank you. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.